From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, I'm Paris Alston. Welcome to Consider This from Boston, where the dating app Grindr is a popular way for LGBTQ adults to connect. But what happens when teenagers sneak onto the adults-only mobile app? GBH News senior investigative reporter Jennifer McKim has been digging into this as part of the GBH series Unseen, Boy Victims of the Sex Trade, and joins us now. And just a warning, this story contains some disturbing descriptions.
Hi, Paris. Thanks for having me.
For those who aren't familiar with Grindr, tell us how it works and who's using it.
So Grindr is a popular hookup app touted as the world's largest social networking app for gay, bi, trans, and queer people. It's location-based, so users can find people who are nearby. And company officials say it's restricted to those who are 18 years and older, but we found researchers who say that more than half of sexually active gay and bisexual teens across the U.S. are now using the site to find sexual partners. This is likely hundreds of thousands of youth nationwide.
Ah, and that's concerning, Jen. So why might so many underage teens be logging on?
Well, so researchers and users themselves say there's few outlets for gay teens looking for connection. I spoke to one Massachusetts man, his name is German Chavez, who said he downloaded the app when he was just 13 years old because he wanted to know what it was like to be gay.
My intentions were so pure and holy. They were just like to know like about gay men. What do gay men eat? What do gay men like?
Now, Chavez says he met a 60-year-old man who sexually assaulted him that first time. And yet a year later, he was selling sex on the app to adult men to help his financially struggling and troubled family. I also spoke to a self-described activist who, like the old show To Catch a Predator, says he goes onto Grindr pretending to be an underage boy, and then he live streams the meetups. Here's Jay Velasquez talking about these efforts.
We just post a picture. We wait for somebody to hit one of our decoys up. When they do, we let them know our age. Then that's when they ask to like meet up or talk sexual.
At first, I just kept asking, are there real 14-year-olds on the site wanting to meet adult men? And I was surprised to find out, yes, there are many. Northwestern University researcher Catherine McCopagall confirms this.
Part of the reason why I think this happens is that there aren't a lot of spaces for LGBT teens online to make friends or find other teens like them.
Yeah, I had a similar question, Jen, but that reasoning makes sense. But as you found out, that can pose real dangers for young people, right?
Yes, there's even websites devoted to bad and dangerous dates on Grindr. We found more than 100 cases of men across the U.S., including in Massachusetts, who faced charges since 2015 related to exploitation, trafficking, and other sex-related offenses linked to meetups with underage boys they met on the app. This includes a Lawrence police officer currently facing charges for allegedly raping a 13-year-old he met on Grindr.
Oh, that is just awful. And I also take it Grindr isn't the only platform where this is happening.
No, not at all. There's a dizzying array of apps, chat rooms, internet sites, gaming sites that put both boys and girls at risk of sexual predators. And there's a growing chorus of advocates and others who are pushing companies to do more to better protect minors. They also want lawmakers to change laws to make it easier to hold them accountable. Jack Turbin's a doctor who served his residency in Boston and saw too many young boys come into the emergency room after being exploited on Grindr, and yet they were afraid to tell any adults that they trusted.
We see those kids in the emergency room in a mental health crisis because they've reached a breaking point that the situation with this adult sexually exploiting them is overwhelming, but it's also way too overwhelming to tell anyone about it.
Turbin also says that Grindr is at fault for knowing that this is happening and not doing anything about it. He says it's important for everybody to have conversations about public policy and legislation to change the current situation for Grindr and for all tech companies.
And Jen, I know that this story is one in a series and you're continuing to explore how young people are being exploited. So what's next in the series?
Thanks so much for asking. Our next story is focusing on the particular dangers of trafficking and commercial sexual exploitation in the trans community.
Well, we'll look forward to your reporting on that. That's Jennifer McKim, senior investigative reporter at GBH News. Thanks so much.
Thanks very much for your attention to this topic.
Before we go, I should tell you what else is up. A number of Boston city councilors want to establish oversight on the use of surveillance technology in the city. Boston City Councilor and mayoral candidate Michelle Wu says the council is considering language for new policies, including some that would prevent sharing surveillance information with immigration officials. Wu says the ordinance is based on rules already in effect elsewhere.
We've been able to source a tremendous amount of the legal research and best practices that our sister cities in the surrounding area have undertaken as they have passed similar ordinances and that cities around the country have already undertaken as well.
Wu says the proposal would require that when the city is about to acquire or deploy new surveillance technology, that there is a public conversation first. In other news, a new report from Environment Massachusetts is out today, grading the state's beaches. The good news? The Commonwealth has made progress cleaning up our coastal waters over the past few decades. The bad news? Raw sewage is still getting into places where people swim.
Ultimately, to fix this problem, we're going to need significant investment both at the state level and at the federal level. The good news is that the U.S. House of Representatives recently voted for legislation that would put $40 billion towards clean water infrastructure.
Beaches in Lynn, Dorchester, and Quincy were the dirtiest. But in all, more than half of the 556 beaches tested in the state had bad water quality at least once last year. And finally, July started out soggy, and rain is in the forecast again this week. Ugh, I don't know about y'all, but this is not the weather I had in mind for this time of year. And as it turns out, all this rain could ruin more than just the summer vibes.
If the rain keeps up like this, then we'll have problems with fungal diseases, not being able to get in and get the weeds out with our tractors.
That's Susan Murray, who owns Flying Carrot Farm in South Dartmouth with her husband. Murray is advising local gardeners to make sure their fruits and vegetables, like tomatoes and cucumbers, have enough drainage if they're in pots. She also says plant leaves should be examined for spots and their undersides should be checked for watermarks or gray markings, which signal fungal disease. So, word to Mother Nature, please bring us some sunshine soon. It'd be good for plants and us humans alike. From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, the greatest combo since sunshine after a rainy day, I'm Paris Alston. Be well. Way. Every day you hear us tackle news in Boston on Consider This. Well, another one of WBUR's programs uses a wider lens. On Point, hosted by Meghna Chakrabarty, sets out to make sense of the world together. From the economy and healthcare to politics and the environment and so much more, On Point talks with newsmakers and real people about the issues that matter most. Get the On Point podcast wherever you listen. Just search On Point and hit subscribe.